episode 266 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Donna, Lindsay, and Elizabeth. Norwegian Cruise Lines has just launched a brand new ship, the Encore. It's the last ship in what is known as their Breakaway Plus class, featuring a racetrack, laser tag, Broadway shows, and even a brew pub. This ship has something for everyone. Elizabeth and Sandy recently sailed on the Encore for her christening voyage, and they are excited to fill us in, so let's get started. So, Breakaway Plus class, have either one of you sailed on one before, or is this your first time?
First time for me.
Yeah, we were on the Getaway, which is the Breakaway class, like the regular Breakaway. So, the Plus class has the racetrack on top and a couple more.
But Martin is very similar to the, I've been on both the Getaway and the Escape. And they're both regular Breakaway. So there's a lot of similarities. I think it's really just the top decks that are different. I'm saying that without having pure evidence behind that, but that's what it's like to me. So.
And what was the itinerary for the sailing?
Just Great Stirrup Cay and back.
Yeah, it was a 3-night inaugural sailing. So it was really just to let us see the ship and experience some of what it had to offer, but it was very, very short. So
do you know what port she's going to be sailing out of once she gets her permanent schedule?
So starting in Miami, and they're actually building a new port in Miami for Norwegian, but she will be doing Eastern Caribbean up until April of 2020. Then she's going to go up north and do New England, Canada, and Bermuda cruises. And that'll be till December of 2020. Then she's going to do some Western Caribbean. And then she'll go over in 2021, she'll go over to the West Coast and she'll eventually do Alaska.
And when she's doing the Western Caribbean, she'll still be out of Miami, right?
Yeah.
It strikes me that Alaska seems to be changing, where a lot of the cruise lines are sending their bigger, newer ships there instead of their older, smaller ones.
There's a lot of inventory in Alaska. Yeah,
it's weird because I think it's moving in both directions at the same time. Like, I think Alaska is simultaneously getting more big ships and more small ships.
Yeah.
The demand's there.
It's getting more. Yeah, there's a lot of inventory. It wouldn't go. Yeah, for sure. That doesn't mean it's going to get, but.
So let's talk about entertainment. I hear that Kinky Boots was the show on the ship.
It is the Broadway show, yes. Although, since we're talking about entertainment, the godmother of this ship is actually Kelly Clarkson. So she walked right by us while we were having this from the whiskey bar. And she is actually as awesome. Not that we had a chat with her or anything. But she is just as dynamic in person as you would think, as she is just on the screen. I mean, she was really positive.
I'm so jealous you were that close to Kelly Clarkson.
I was very, very close to Kelly Clarkson.
I got a picture of the back of her head.
I know, by the time I got the cameras out, she walked by and I'm like, see that hair? That's Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
But she did a little performance. She was not on the ship with us, but they've actually fashioned the baby room after her. The books that she's written, is it Ramblin' Rose? Is that what it's
called? River Rose.
River Rose, thank you.
Yeah.
So she's very present on the ship, even though she wasn't sailing with us, sadly. I was hoping to bump into her over a glass of wine. But yes, Kinky Boots is the main Broadway show. And then that cast also does a show called Prohibition, which Sandy and I were not able to see. It only ran at very few times, and it just did not time out. So.
But our friends that saw it, they said it was awesome. Our friends that got to see it, they really liked it.
Yeah, they said it was really, really good. And again, same cast. So, and it's done in a different venue. It's done in sort of a, well, easy kind of, yeah, like a club. Yeah. So it's not done in the big theater. Yeah, which is really cool. And then the other show that's in the big theater is The Choir Man. Yeah, which I'm going to make a note right now because I need to buy those tickets. The Choir Man is actually coming to North Carolina And my family is going to love to see it. But it was interesting because the reaction overall, and Sandy, you can disagree with me if you'd like, but you'd be wrong, was everybody said Kinky Boots was great, but everybody said Choir of Man was the best show.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was very interactive. It was really fun. You got to go up, like before, it's like set in a pub, and before the show, you can go up on stage and they're just walking around and people wander up there and they have beer. They're giving out beer. And I mean, it was awesome.
They actually have live taps on, it's Heineken, but they have live taps on stage where they will pour you a beer in the pub and chat with you. And so we chatted with a couple of members. They would come up and they were very, very accessible. Yeah. It was really cool. Mostly pop music. I'm trying to think through they sort of string a storyline through it, but the storyline is sort of a loose, like, this is the great thing about pubs kind of storyline. So it's really free moving, but so there's a theme, but it's a loose theme. And it's not a cappella. They have a few instruments, but it's that same type of staging, you know, with the mostly voices doing most of the harmonies. And then I think there was a banjo maybe and a guitar and
there was a band up on the top.
Yeah, there was actually an electric bass and there was a band as well.
So
did you get to eat at any of the specialty restaurants? Were they open while you were on board?
We weren't special enough to eat at the specialty restaurants.
It was by invitation only. So my new saying for the agency as a whole is we are now at the bottom of the top, people. We got to go. We got to see Kelly Clarkson. There was actually an executive update where the new CEO that's taking over said something to the effect of, and I am paraphrasing because he was not nearly this cruel, but he said basically, I wish all of you could experience Onda by Scarpetta while you're on board, but you can't. It was really by invitation only. And the people that I heard went said that it was excellent. And I believe it. I mean, it's Scarpetta. It's not going to be bad, but we did not get a chance. And it's actually in that same area where the Italian restaurant is, La Cucina, on the breakaway class. So it's in the same spot, just a little upgrade.
But I know you guys checked out the brew pub.
We did.
We did, although we couldn't spend very much time in there because that was another thing about being on an inaugural. They had lots of places blocked off for private events. So most of the times that I wanted to go in there, but we did. We snuck in there, and that last night we had a great time. The beer selection is good. It's not like outstanding, but as far as being on a ship, it's fantastic.
I mean, they had Chris's beer on tap. The stupid strong stuff that he drinks, that double dog, whatever. I don't like it. It's nasty.
Did they have tasters? Did they have flights?
They do flights.
Size only.
Yeah, they do flights. It was near the end of the evening. It was after we saw Choir of Man, right? So it was midnight. Hello?
Respect. Yeah.
We were up until midnight.
We closed the bars down. There was no one night.
It was a three-night cruise.
Our Kinky Boots show was also like that. So we were up until at least midnight. Take that. Will never happen again. But
I was sick too, so that's saying something that I was up.
Cindy was trying to give me the pink eye the whole time too. Great. You know, guys, I don't usually room with people. Those of you who know this. And I'm like, Sandy, come on, we'll room together. And she's like, I have pink eye.
I don't want to hear about it, Mrs. I gave everybody I know the cold on the Disney cruise.
That was an accident.
I was so sick after that. I was like, oh, this is from Elizabeth with love.
It could have been anybody. It was probably me. Anyway.
To share everything.
The other restaurants on board are the Teppanyaki, Cagney's, and Food Republic, all of which are on other ships. And from what we can tell, are basically the same products. And they have the waterfront. So you can dine al fresco, which was, I think that you're not wearing any clothes, but that's not what it means. which is really nice. I love that area. And there's bars and restaurants. So even if you can't get a reservation at a restaurant and eat outside, there are bars out there. The whiskey bar has an area out there. There's several bars that have areas outside.
Yeah, martini bar. I don't know if the martini bar goes out there, but the mojito bar.
And we did, we also went to, before we moved on to bars, we went to the American Diner for lunch the first day. And that's a very popular spot. It's, it takes the place of Margaritaville on the Getaway. Is that right?
Escape.
Escape. Sorry, my bad. It's, so it's sort of outside, but sort of not. And it's an old, it's like a diner. So, it was good. I mean, the food, Deborah had like a burger that looked amazing. So yeah, it was good.
The it's menu, all, that one is all an upcharge.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like Johnny Rockets?
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Except not as, I mean, they don't sing or anything like that, but it's that idea, you know, the 50s diner tables and all that. Yep.
Okay, good.
Yeah, milkshakes and stuff.
Ooh. Like real I'm looking good at some milkshakes of the, or like...
I was drinking margaritas already, so I didn't have a milkshake. So it wouldn't really go.
So surprised. Did you guys do any of the, I mean, you didn't have very much time, but did you do water slides or anything like that? Or
no.
You didn't race the go-karts?
So stuff was pretty filled up, but I will tell you this about the go-karts.
Yeah.
There is a weight limit and they are serious about it. And they have a scale up at the top.
Wow.
Like the scale is all green except this little bit of red at the end. And I wasn't going to even get my... So I was like, forget it.
Do you know what the weight limit is?
Because
my husband would be crushed.
Yes.
Because he's not even fat. He's just tall and big. He couldn't even do it. He's too muscular.
There were people who were able to do it. 265. But it doesn't tell you. Well, I think they'll tell you. But they
somebody told us that
you, if you ask, yeah, because the scale actually doesn't have any numbers on it. So that if you do stand on it, but I still think standing on a scale that flips over to the red is not, it's humiliating.
It's like, it might as well make a bong.
Yeah.
They know this is a cruise, right?
I mean, I would really rather them just say the weight limit is 265 and then have everybody step on the scale after that. So that if I think that I'm on the line, I might not step on the scale.
Why can't they have I'll be right back and run down to the gym.
Wait a minute. There's a more tactful way to do this because a lot of those flight places will have a scale that you don't even know you're standing on. You know what I mean? Like there's a way to do that and not make it
a big scale. Yeah. I heard that the water slides had a scale too, but I didn't go over there, so I don't know what the weight limit was or if that is true or not.
We'll have to find out if that's something that's posted online or if something we can get like a little cheat sheet of, because I would hate for people to be, this is the thing I want to do.
Yeah.
And plan their vacation around it. Like, I'm glad you said that about the go-karts, because I would have never known. I would have thought for sure.
And somebody in our party has been on the Joy and the Bliss, and he has been able to ride the go-karts without trouble, and he actually was told not to ride these. So I don't know. What is it? Maybe they're adding, I don't know. Why are these go-karts different from other ones? Or maybe the other ones aren't different and they're adding that. I have no idea, but
it's still handy information to have. I mean,
yep. And since we have podcasted before about, you know, issues for larger travelers, that's definitely something to think about. And I don't think the scale is a, I mean, it's certainly, I think there was an attempt made by somebody who does not have weight problems.
Yeah.
Less intimidating, but it's still ugly. You know, it's still not.
Because if you're over 265 pounds, you just, you know, you just don't even get in line.
If you know that that's what the limit is, but
if you got on the ship at like 250 and you know you've been eating a lot, you know, you might not, I mean, you know, maybe you'll
still. Well, and you know how at Disney World, your kid at home is 42 inches, but at Disney World, they're only 40 inches. You know, you measure at home and then you get there, not the same.
You get on your scale, or it's like the scale for your luggage at the check-in counter at the airport. And you're like, I weighed that at home and it was exactly 49.9.
Well, you know, you got to wear your shoes. So, you know, and I'm pretty sure you have to wear closed-toed shoes for that. So you have to wear your shoes. You can't just wear your light flip-flops.
You can't just take your jeans off.
Yeah.
And your shoes.
Not that kind of crew.
Well, you could, but you might get thrown off.
I want to say something about this ship that we were really excited to see. And I think it took us a few minutes to understand what it was that we were seeing. But so one of the things on the Breakaway class and in the Breakaway Plus class is they have this open area called 678. Is that right? It's named after the floors that it's on. I think it's 678. And it has restaurants and some shops. and also the casino in it. And one of the issues that that has been reported on previous Norwegian ships is the smoke from the casino, because the casino is one of those smoking areas. And because it's this big open lobby, this three-story atrium, the smoke carries, and it's hard to even walk through there if you have problems with cigarette smoke. They have actually sealed off a part of the casino for smokers.
Oh, fantastic.
It has slot machines in it. It has all the things in it that the regular area, the open area has, but it is absolutely sealed off behind a glass wall. So sort of like the smoking areas in airports. It's large. It's not like a little closet like some of those smoking areas can be. It's large, but it's a good section of the casino, and it's completely closed off. If you don't want to go in there, there was absolutely no. Now, granted, we were on an inaugural. There were definitely people in the casino, but it probably wasn't at its full running capacity. But it was a very pleasant experience to walk through there.
So, where do you happen to notice or know where the solo cabins are on this?
Yeah, we toured some of them.
You did.
Their interior, yeah, and they have that studio lounge. Yeah, so did you see the studios on the getaway?
I did, but I was just wondering how close they were to the casino, because these ships have a tendency to put the solo cabins, like, right?
Because the solo cabins are interior, but the casino is interior, so it's going to be, like, above it. I think they started on, like, deck 9.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. I feel like they're on 11.
Feel like they were similar size to the ones that we toured on the getaway?
Yes.
Yeah, they were very, very similar, yeah.
Although, I could be wrong about this, but I thought the ones like on the Epic and the getaway had like double size beds, and these looked more like twin size beds.
No, they were double beds. It was a double bed.
Was it? No.
What? Yep.
I didn't think so.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe.
You had pink eye. You couldn't see anything.
That's why I wasn't in the videos after day 2. I'm behind the camera.
So did you guys do anything fun at Great Stirrup Cay? I'm so messed up.
We did that the whole trip. Well, the first thing to know about Great Stirrup Cay is it's a tender port. So I think they would like to build a dock there, but right now, so there are chances. I would be careful if you're booking for Great Stirrup Cay. If you're booking your trip in order to go to Great Stirrup Cay, if the weather is bad, they cannot tender you there. They will skip that port. It happens a lot. It used to happen a lot with Coco Cay, which is now Perfect Day at Coco Cay, which is Royal Caribbean's island, which incidentally, you can see very clearly from Great Stirrup Cay. Mm-hmm. They're right next to each other. Yeah. So same conditions. So they built that dock, and now Royal Caribbean can go there every single time. But there were many times I've actually been on Royal Caribbean ships twice where we were supposed to go to to Coco Cay, and we had to cancel because of weather. Like waves are slapping up against the side of the ship, and cabin's like, yeah, we're not going to be able to tender in this weather. So, we were very fortunate to be able to get onto the island. And I say that wholeheartedly because it is a beautiful island with lots of different areas, tons of lounge chairs. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I loved was all the towels were on the lounge chairs. Every lounge chair had a towel. So you did not carry your towel anywhere.
The other side of the island. They said Encore though. I'm wondering if they did that for our cruise, you know?
Or they could have different towels for different ships too.
Maybe. But they've done a lot. I was on this island like 3 years ago, and I could tell they'd done a lot of stuff to it. So it was really cool. They've added this big zip line tower thing that I think it's probably got, what, like 5 or 6 zips, Elizabeth?
Yeah.
And no, I don't know if there's any kind of weight limit or anything, but they said, like, in the sign up, it calls it vigorous or what are they? Demanding, whatever it's supposed to be. I mean, because you are climbing up rope ladders and stuff, so it's not like an easy zip line where you're just going back and forth. You're going to be climbing and doing a bunch of stuff like that. So
that's how you spent your day.
No, no, I was
our on our tuchus, and we got in the water too. So research. We actually, before we did that though, we took a tour because they were allowing us to go see the new Silver Cove area. And Lindsay, I gotta tell you,
yeah,
these cabanas are the bomb.
The villas.
You must do it.
Yeah.
Villas, yes. And as of this moment, Haven guests do not get any priority over these. It's first come, first serve. They even in one area, they have one bedroom and two bedroom villas. You don't
see the beds.
They have beds in them. Yeah. You can go take a nap with your window open. Over, they are air conditioned.
Like dialed my number. That is it.
And they're not overpriced yet.
They're not.
Maybe they're going to realize.
But they have a bed so I can take a nap.
Yeah.
Sandy was like, why would you do that? I'm like, I would go there first thing in the morning and just go right back to bed and then get up when I want to.
But then, the thing I liked about it is I'm thinking about, like, if you have a multi-gen family, because the one bedrooms hold 10 people. Is that right?
Maybe naps or toddler naps.
Grandpa naps. And then they also
husband naps.
Yeah. They also will drive you to them. So you don't have to walk all that way. If you're staying in Silver Cove, they have like these,
golf carts.
Big golf cart things that they take you there. So it'd be perfect for my parents. They wouldn't have to walk in the sand. They just get, and then they could just like watch us play in the, and then they had dredged out the whole lagoon. Basically, they created this lagoon and it was gorgeous. Totally flat, calm water.
Perfect experience. It's really, they have a little swing set up and this blue water and white sand. It's really gorgeous. And in these villas, they are accessible. Because they can drive you out to the villas, and then you can actually roll right up to a villa. So they are accessible. They have wide doorways. Another thing that we noticed as we got off the ship, when you first get off the tender, there's a little station with beach wheelchairs. And I asked them about them and they said, you just tell us where you want to go and we'll take you there. And then we bring the wheelchair back. And then when you're ready to leave, you just let us know and we come get you. Cause there were only 15, maybe 20 of these wheelchairs. So I was like, is this first come first served? How's this work? And he said, no, we take you there. And then we bring the chair back here. And then when you're ready to go, we come get you. And, really, really nice, access for now. Nice. That's assuming you can get onto the tender.
Yeah.
Challenge number one. But if you can get there, if you can transfer to the tender, then you can definitely enjoy the island.
Another thing about the Silver Cove, that bay, you also have access to it if you do a spa treatment on the island. So
yep.
Even if you're not doing one of the villas, you can still go play and frolic.
It's kind of like a thermal room on a ship where you actually, once you get the spa treatment, you can just stay in that area. And
there's a restaurant over there and stuff just for that area.
So. See, I think I would do that.
So I listened to another podcast and they were on the same cruise you were. And when they were talking about the villas and thought, well, geez, these are kind of overkill for a 6-hour stay. But if the ship overnighted.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Well,
you say that it's overkill and they can say it's overkill. And I don't know what podcast this is, but they are fuddy-duddies because the most expensive one during an expensive season was like $1,200. Is that right?
Yeah. And that was a two bedroom.
That was a two bedroom. Like
16 people. Yeah.
Do the math. Split it out.
A bunch of toddlers. And
charging like $800.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're talking about it from a cost standpoint, but who needs a two-bedroom villa on a 6-hour stay?
I know you do. If you have kids and you want them to take a nap,
okay.
Well, I don't need it because I have friends like Elizabeth, and I could probably just pop in and chill out for a while and then go back in the water.
Well, this is a family-friendly podcast, so I'm just going to say this as opaquely as I can, but honeymooners.
Okay.
I think
there's a shower there too.
Your own bathroom. You don't have to walk to the bathroom that has questionable water on the floor. Your own bathroom.
Island babies on Cruise Critic. I mean, I can just see the thread now.
Yep. So I just think there's lots of, and they were very affordable. That now Norwegian may up the price hearing all these podcasts, but all of us as we were taking the tour, we were like, they cost how much? Wait, what?
Norwegian, please don't up the price.
Yeah. Because the base ones are less than
be Disney
ones on a particular, competitor who has little ears.
I mean, I guess it's going to depend on how well they sell. But yeah. Norwegian also has Regent and Oceana. So those other higher end cruise ships go there too. Mm-hmm. So it might not just be an NCL ship there that day. So
that's true.
Yeah.
But they did the, they had beach service. So people brought our drinks to, we literally could have just sat in our lounge chair all day and would have been just fine if we could have gotten away with not going to the restroom and not eating anything.
There would they deliver you, oh, they wouldn't deliver you food. See that I want an island where they'll bring me my food.
Yeah. Now I will say on the, in the villas, they will bring your food and the villa, you know, they have a little stocked refrigerator. And so you don't have to wait for very much. And there are, incidentally, we talked about the villas, but there are also regular cabanas that were very nice as well and well stocked. So a little bit more open air, more of the cabana that you're expecting.
Not a bathroom.
Yeah, no bathroom. Yeah. But, but very.
I think just having your own bathroom
and shower.
Those villas are
a shower.
Those villas are nice. I would stay there for several days.
You know, because that's the rush when you're coming back from those island, you know, the day on the island and you're trying to get back to the ship and doing dinner or doing a show or whatever, to be able to take that shower and be one step ahead of where you need to be and not tracking sand back on the...
Yeah.
Or even, you know, you get into the lagoon in the morning and you swim around and then you're all covered in sand and stuff. You just take your shower and then change into chill clothes and then you just read on the lounge chair or take a nap. Although if you're with me, you won't be able to take a nap because I'll be taking a nap. But, you know, then
the, I mean, just get in the bed.
Yeah, it was really, it's really, really nice. We were really impressed with those. And I would, and again, very affordable. Considering what they are, I would have expected them to price way higher.
Sandy and I will just be raiding your mini bar while you're sleeping.
That's fine, because you'll be paying for it too. And this is another place where you can swim with pigs. So there is an excursion where you can do that. So the only places to do that was in the Bahamas and the Eximas, but I don't think it takes you to the same place. They're different pigs. So
I can't believe, well, then it'd be different. You got to do both then. I mean, these pigs are going to have different personalities. I can't believe you didn't do that. Sandy, I'm so disappointed.
Everything was, there was nothing left by the time we realized you could swim with the pigs. There was very limited.
I had a terrible travel agent. A pink guy the whole time too. So it was way too late. And that we did. We put things off and then, and you know, because this is a special event, they don't give us our information very far ahead. So, you know, it was difficult to book too far ahead and things like that booked up. I don't even think we couldn't have even ziplined if we had wanted to climb those 80 flights of stairs. We couldn't have done it.
I don't know. People were doing that all day. I bet you we could have gotten in on that one. No, I don't know.
Couldn't have.
We just wanted to drink. So.
I was enjoying sitting in my lounge chair. So.
Elizabeth said you couldn't do that. Period. End of story.
Not poor Elizabeth read like the same page of her book like 50 times. I wouldn't stop talking to her.
Talking to me. She's like, are you trying to read your book?
What you doing?
Lindsay, can we agree that traveling with Sandy is a joy?
It is. I think there should be like a merit badge or something. like a certificate you get for every trip you survive with her.
Maybe before we get podcast t-shirts, we'll get I survived traveling with Sandy.
Too. Little pin collection.
Wilderness Explorer's badge.
Yeah.
Well, no, you have that for me. You guys have to survive me.
Well, I like traveling with you because all the bad things happen to you and they're to me.
I traveled with Donna and I didn't lose my luggage badge.
Yeah, exactly. She did. So overall, I think there was so much to do in the 3 days. We really tried to do as much as we could. We didn't even get to tour all the staterooms that were open for us to tour. And we really did work on this.
We're not done talking about stuff, though, because we didn't talk about the laser tag or the Galaxy Pavilion, which I know you didn't see. But on the back of the ship by the racetrack is the laser tag. And I went back there. I didn't go in, but it looked really cool. It had like this huge snake that wrapped around the whole back of the ship. So that looked pretty cool. And they have like VR goggles that you can put on so you can kind of shoot other things. And you have to wear closed-toed shoes. So tell your clients that they want to bring like other shoes besides just flip-flops and sandals. But and then the Galaxy Pavilion was like a VR playground. And there was an extra charge, and I don't know what it was because they weren't charging us. But basically, it kind of reminded me of, what was the place at Disney?
Void. The Void? Oh, we got to go back there because there's a new Wreck-It Ralph thing we got to do, Sandy.
Not the Void, the Disney Quest. Story place. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, so basically there was like one where you were walking. You're walking on a balance beam, but your goggles make you think you're walking on like a building way up in the air. There's like a fan blowing on your face, you know, and there's one where you like lay down and it looks like you're flying, you know? So there was like a whole bunch of different
rides up there. We're not doing that.
I think
Connor
fall.
Would do it. Your kids would totally do it.
So there was a person in our party, a good friend of ours, Teresa, who did the they had a balance beam one that was walking the plank, which if you've been on one of the getaway class ships, they actually have a plank that you can walk out on that's like 13 decks up and you're roped in. It's part of the ropes course, but you actually walk all the way out on it and you're standing out over open ocean, which I have consistently said nope to. My husband did it, but I am like, no. So she thought, oh, okay, I'll do it virtual. It'll be fine. She puts on these virtual, and her husband was filming her from the back so that you could see her sort of reaction. And she starts just stepping out on the balance beam, and she gets, I don't know, maybe two or three steps out. She's like, nope. And she's like, take it off. So, you know, it's pretty realistic, obviously. Yeah. She's like, I expected it to be really, really fake feeling. And I would be able to tell that I was in like a video game. She's like, no, it was terrifying. So. not terrifying for everybody. It's just, if you know, don't like heights. And
then the other area of the ship that I loved that I think is perfect for Alaska is the observation deck up on deck 15. It's like half the ship and it goes towards the front of the ship. So, you know, it's like floor to ceiling windows and stuff, but there's all along the way when you enter all the way to the front of the ship, there's just seating everywhere and there's snacks and there's coffees and there's like, it's just, I feel like you could go in there at any time and find a place to sit with your friends, you know, like it was really nice and calm and pretty awesome.
I sailed to Alaska on Norwegian on one of the smaller ships. I feel like it was the Gem maybe years and years ago. And I took my cross stitch with me and I basically sat in their observation deck on that ship, which is much smaller. So I had to get there first thing in the morning and stake out my chair and basically, you know, not move. And Chris would come check on me every now and then. And I'd be like, hey, I need to go to the bathroom, hold my chair. And there was so much seating, you know, when I'd heard about this observation deck and many people had talked about it. And I thought, well, it's still going to be too small. You know, you're going to have to get there early. It's huge. I mean, it is huge. They had a private event going on in one side of it. And the other, there was still plenty of places to sit in the other side. I mean, it's enormous.
That's fantastic. Because that's one of the things that, you know, takes away from your enjoyment of your vacation. If you had to camp out somewhere, or be the first person to get somewhere to get a seat or...
Yeah, but that would be a good gathering place. And the waterfront, too, I think would be a really good gathering place for a large group of people, too.
How much room was in the brew pub? Like, is there a good space?
I mean, it was about the size of a restaurant. You know, I mean, I felt like it had a lot of room.
I feel like it's like a 10 or 12 seat bar. And then there's several high tops that are like six people. I want to say there's maybe six of those, and then there's several low seat like couches and things that seat, I don't know, we had actually had six people at one of those, so
There was a like a piano player in there, right? So I feel like there might have been more seating even behind that person.
That's a wall, and then there's because I've been on other ships, that's a wall, and then there's the seating does go back a little ways, and actually all those couches line the windows there, so when it was dark when we went, but when it's light outside you can actually see outside too. So
nice.
It's a great, I mean, I when I sailed on the getaway with my family, on the escape with my family, we were right above it. I chose that room, but I didn't think about the fact that it was right above the brew pub at the time. So it was just like, I just go down the stairs and pop in. So I spent a lot of time in there on that ship. But there was a photo booth that we all tried to cram into. That didn't go so well. that is an additional charge. That's one thing about Norwegian is there's a lot to do, but a lot of it is an extra charge. So you just need to be aware of what you're signing in for, because
you're budgeting for.
Yeah, because like that strip of photos was $5. I mean, it can add up. So
Okay, well, that's our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Lindsay, Donna, and myself, George, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.